All right. Now, at Christmas time, we've been doing this thing called the Christmas Easter story. And so we've decided to put one together because at Easter time, we can't have enough chocolate, can we? All right. So now, quick one for the kids. Because we've got the 11 a.m. service with us today as well as the 9 a.m., so it's good to have a lot of the kids around. So with the kids, I was thinking that maybe today with all these chocolates, and because you've had so many chocolates already, that you don't want to actually win the chocolates today. You just want to leave them in Donnie's basket. Is that... No, you want... If you get it right, you want the chocolate. Is that what you're saying? Really? After all the chocolate you've had already... Yes, yes. Well, we've got an amazing fridge at our place because there's a bowl of Easter eggs in there. And both Cynthia and I aren't eating Easter eggs, well, not many, but the bowl keeps emptying and disappearing. And so I think it's Louie, the dog, is getting into the fridge. All right, okay, everyone, get your thinking caps on because this is not an easy story. You may need to think outside the box. Because I did. And Jamie, there's no Toblerone answer. No Toblerone answer. So ready on the count of three. One, two, three. No. I tried to fit it in, but it didn't work. So Father's Day, I'll give you a Toblerone, okay? Promise. All right, here we go. The day after Jesus died was no... right at the back. What do we hear? Picnic. Is that what you said at the back? Because that's what I heard at the front. Okay, Paul, send up your little boy to come and get this. You're still a little boy, buddy. Still. There was no picnic in the park for Mary. She felt no joy as she went to Jesus' tomb that morning. But when Mary arrived at the tomb, she saw that the stone had been rolled away and Jesus was not there. She first thought that someone had been up to their old... Hands up. Yes, right at the back. Twix, yes, come on up. Send someone up to grab that. Yeah. Rascally rabbit. Twix, there we go. I can't throw. Excellent. Twix, then two angels appeared and asked, "Why are you crying?" That's when Mary saw Jesus at first, but she thought she was having a... Yes? Dream. Very good, come on up. He doesn't need it. Okay, cool. I'll keep that one. Mum said, you don't need it. How to get Mum in the bad books. But then she felt a... Yes, at the back. No, hold on to that one. It's coming later. Then she felt a... Boost. There it is over there. A boost. Excellent. Felt a boost. That wasn't a cherry ripe. Okay. A boost of happiness. So she was happy and she wanted to shower Jesus with... This is a little bit... Yes, hugs and kisses, but... Extra hugs and kisses. Very good. Catch. Good catch. Extra hugs and kisses, sorry, Juliet. But Jesus said that she had to go and tell the disciples what happened. She thought this was... At the back? No. This was... Smart? No, not yet. Yes? No, but hold on to that one. Starts with M. At the back, I heard that. Marvelous creations. There it is. It was marvelous. I told you it was outside the box. Mary went and twirled. Very good. I thought I'd better help you with that one. Who said twirled? Right at the back there. Very good. Come and grab it. Twirled all the way back to the disciples. This is not in the Bible, by the way. Twirled all the way back to the disciples to tell them the good news. And for them, it was a... Who said that? Robin. Kinder. It was a kinder surprise. Yeah. What do you, that's my wife saying, don't throw it here. You'll hit me. All right. A kind of surprise. Jesus is alive. Our sins are many, but Jesus' love and forgiveness, our sins are gone. So everyone from Earth to Mars. And on to the Milky Way. To the Milky Way can have eternal life. You've heard that before? Everyone from Mars, Earth to Mars, to the Milky Way can have eternal life. So God had a plan all along because he's a real smarty. You want the kids to have it? All right, smarties at the back. Come on up. You've been trying all day. Here you go. Can you catch? Because there'll be smarties everywhere. Ow! God had a plan all along because he's a real smarty, because Jesus is indeed our...
Furry friend.
Furry friend? Furry friend? They won't be expecting that. Furry friend. No, Jamie, no. But you've been sitting on that the whole time, will you? All right. Anyone else? Not a furry friend. He is our Kit Kat. Ah, there you go, right at the front. Lifesaver, come on, I got that one. All right, okay. Now, I did try to fit a whole bunch of other chocolates in there, but they didn't make it, so they're sitting at home on my table. Yeah, Louis. All right, let's pray, shall we? Father God, it's good to get together. It's good to have some fun. It's good to celebrate this amazing day. Even though it's very wet outside, we celebrate the risen Jesus. We celebrate the victory. We celebrate that death has no more sting. We celebrate together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's difficult for us today because we know the end of the story. We know on Good Friday when Jesus is on the cross, we know Sunday's coming. We know he rises from the dead. It's difficult for us to get as pumped and as excited as we probably should because we know the end of the story. It's like Lord of the Rings. If I got that the right way? Lord of the Rings. 228,000 hours of pleasure watching. That's the extended version. Yeah, well, okay, it's 20-something hours. I don't know. Long time. Longer than Cynthia would sit next to me and watch it anyway. It's a long movie. It's long. But let me tell you, because I'm a frustrated author, let me tell you the Donnie Johnson version of Lord of the Rings. Once upon a time, there was a little man with hairy feet. We call him a hobbit. He went on a journey. He found a ring. A ring belonged to a really, 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 really bad guy who had lost it many years earlier fighting a fight. The ring stayed hidden for many times. And then a wise guy called Gandalf came along and found it out, decided it needed to go to Mount Doom where it would be destroyed. So the little furry man with the name called a hobbit, he gave it to his great-great-grandson, who, Frodo, went to go on this journey. And as they got all ready to go on the journey, Gandalf remembered that there were these big eagles that could fly long ways over Middle-earth. And so he jumped on the eagle and he flew all the way to Mount Doom and he dropped the ring into the middle of Mount Doom. Thus ended the story, because all the bad guy died and everything died. Gone. Do you think that'll sell? Spoilers, yes. But he didn't hop on the eagle to jump into it, but the eagles... If you know the end of the story, the ring does get chucked into Mount Doom. But all the way through the story is all these other stories. But for me, I think, well, why didn't Gandalf, he was so wise, why didn't he think, hey, let's put the little hobbit on the eagle and then we don't have to worry about all this. All the death and carnage would have been dealt with. Just fly all the way to Mount Doom. Have other eagles to fight off the dragony things. And there it is, end of the story. Sometimes for us, Easter is like that. No, that's not the way it's meant to be. It is all about all the other stuff. But on a Sunday, we can't get everything into the whole story. But I'm going to try. Let's see how we go. For many of us, the uncertainty of the future is all too real. Certainly in these unprecedented times. just when we thought it was safe to go out there, bang, we get a three-day lockdown. But there is always hope. Where nothing is certain, our resurrected Saviour rises above it all. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is victorious, and there is indeed victory in Jesus. I want you to think about that first Easter morning. I want you to stop for a moment and really think about it. When Mary Magdalene got up before the sun was up with Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and they went to the garden to anoint Jesus' body, they did not approach the tomb with the joy and celebration that we go. They weren't walking along the path going, "He is risen, he is risen," and people yelling back, "He's risen indeed." That wasn't that morning. This was a sad morning, a broken morning. Then when they arrived there, imagine that the impossible had happened. Jesus, they had seen him die. They were in mourning for someone they had loved had died. Just think about that. Someone you loved immensely had died. How would you be feeling? You wouldn't be jumping up and going, "He is risen, let's celebrate." You would be, "I'm grieving the loss of someone I loved. I might know they're going on to be with Jesus, but you're still grieving that loss." Can we touch base with that? Or is it because we know that when they get there, they're going to get a surprise? We can't really connect. But they went out of love. They were in this confusing time. Just to reiterate, Jesus, the expected Messiah, had been crucified. Hope had been lost. The Saviour had died. The disciples were hiding behind locked doors, and their fear was real. They were fearful that some people with big swords were going to come and pull them out of there and add them next to their Saviour, their Lord, their Jesus. Yet despite this, these three ladies pressed into the unknown, into the darkness, into the despair, into the hopelessness that was that first Easter morning. And what did they find? Well, very early in the morning, on that first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. When they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone when we get to the entrance of the tomb for us?" Looking up, they noticed that the stone that was very large had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, but he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him. Now go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of them to Galilee, and you will see him just as he told you." Their world was being transformed. The unimaginable was occurring right before their eyes. Jesus was alive. He is risen from the dead. Death had been defeated. Where despair prevailed, hope was being born. "Therefore, my heart, it is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely, for you will not abandon me to the Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay." Brothers and sisters, I can confidently speak to you about this patriarch David, for he is dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He had not abandoned in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay, for God had raised this Jesus, and we are witnesses of it all. In 2021, are we witnesses to this? Are we witnesses to this risen Jesus? Or do we just know the story? Or did we watch the movie? Are we witnesses? Do we know this work of the Lord Jesus in and through our lives? Do we believe, or do we know? Do we have a testimony of a changed or a changing life? You know, I miss the old days back in the 70s where you'd have a service and there'd be a testimony time. And someone would always get up and tell you how bad they were before they met Jesus. You remember those times? There were some great stories. I remember one guy got up and said, "I hit the bottle early, the age of 2. It was obviously a milk bottle. By the age of 3, they'd put me behind bars. It was one of those crate things with the... Anyway. But today it seems that we are more than wanting to see true transformation. We'd rather hear that Jesus likes me as I am. Listen to this. "And when we were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, He made us alive in him and forgave us our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them, and we triumph over them in him. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can know that same power that rose him from the dead, that life-giving, that life-changing power. And so because I'm talking about this life-changing power, I want to pray into it right here and now in the middle of the sermon. We've got a whole bunch of people, and I'm going to name a couple of names today, and I want you to think about some people that you need or want or desire to see this resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead to be working in their life in the area of transformation or the area of healing or the area of release from the sins of this world. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that we on this day can celebrate this resurrection power. And we can celebrate those passages that talk about we have that same power working in us that rose Jesus from the dead. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And right now, Lord, I want to lift Michelle up. I saw her watching before. I want to lift Michelle up and pray for your resurrection power to be in her body right now. For Brian and Christine, as they watch, Lord, may you just touch them right now and bring healing to their bodies. Father, for Betty, we lift her up, Lord Jesus. We lift her up, Lord Jesus. For Paul's dad, Lord, we lift him before you right now. Just take hold of it and grab a few people's names on your heart. And just lift them before the Lord right now in this time of prayer. And just pray into that space that God can do a miracle. God can do a miracle. God can do something life-changing. God can do something life-transforming into these people's place. Father, I want to thank you for Andrew. He's a young man, and cancer has come knocking on a second time. And I pray for this miracle to happen in his life. It will be gone from his body in Jesus' name. Just remember those people right now as we reflect on this resurrection power. And all God's people said, amen. I learned a long time ago that Jesus truly is the answer for the world today. For with him there is no other, for Jesus is the way. It seems very simplistic, doesn't it? Because it's the lesson I teach to my grade ones. But it is true. It is true. When we don't have the strength, who does? Jesus. When we can't break through in the darkness of our circumstances, Jesus can. When we are fearful, he says, be not afraid, for I am with you. When our world it turns upside down and we cry out, what next, Lord? He says, hold my hand. I am the resurrection and the life. When I am confused and stressed and frustrated, and trust me, these days that happens a lot, he says, come and sit with me. Jesus pierces the darkness with his light. We are not a people that are defined by the sins or our brokenness. We are not defined by our past failures or our disappointments. The sum of our failures does not ensure our future. For every day is a new opportunity. Every day is full of opportunities because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus receives us as we are, and he grants us this newness of life, and he forgives us. He forgives us our sin. And he says, come, follow me. And he says, I loved you and I always will love you. And he says, let me fill you anew with my spirit. For there is victory in Jesus. And because this day is Resurrection Sunday. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not fall asleep, but we will be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will indeed sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility. This mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When the mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying will be true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And we can say, where death is your victory, where death is your sting, we can say that sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over this sin. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that we do not labor in vain in the Lord. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, if you do not know Jesus, I would like to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer. To come and have a chat to me. Come and have a chat to someone sitting next to you, someone in your family, and say, you know, I don't know this resurrection power. I don't understand this Jesus bloke. How can he be with you when this goings are tough? How can he be with you when it's going is good? Let's pray. Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your salvation. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Father, come into my heart and make me new. Bring about this work of transformation in my life that I may be your disciple and follow you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life. I repent of the sin in my life and I hold of your forgiveness right now. Help me to learn to walk with you now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And God's people said, amen. I'm so excited to see you today. Thank you for joining with us. I pray you will know that this indeed is a glorious day, a day to celebrate, a day to know there is a God who loves you and wants to work through you. God bless.